Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcome, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
So, I don't know if you guys have noticed, but there's a lot of people that really don't like following the law. Have you noticed this? Typically, in their driving, they don't like to follow the law. People love to litter, and they love to just, like, do whatever they can to just kind of break the rules. Have you ever noticed this? Not you guys, but there are people out there. Amen? Rule benders. However misinterpreted our law may be in this great land of ours, it still is the law, right? And we live under the rule of law, and a lot of people get frustrated because the law is the way that it is. And I don't know about you, but I've never created a law. I've just kind of followed them. And so I really don't have much to say about them short of just complaining about what it is, but it doesn't change what it is, right? There are some laws that I think are just utterly and completely dumb. And I'm not going to tell you which ones I think they are, because you probably wonder what was going on in my brain. But some of them I just think are dumb, man. I fight against them in my flesh. Well, what happens is a lot of times people end up fighting that way when it comes to the laws of God. We get living in this America, and there's things that we don't like, and so then it comes to the absolutes of God's word. And then we look at those things, and we begin to fight those on the inside, and we look at them, and we say, well, why has it got to be that way? I don't understand. Couldn't it be this other way? And so then we start inventing this special Jesus in our own mind, where we just kind of make things up about who he is that we think that he should be, instead of actually looking at the word and seeing who he is. Amen? Well, we're continuing our study of the book of John this morning, and for those of you that are joining us, we are moving fast through the book of John. Amen? We have been in the book of John for a good 18 months, at least. And we're in chapter 7. We're in a rush to get nowhere. Amen? If we can stay in the book of John until Jesus comes back, and it'll be just fine. We just like to take our time because we figure we're going to get a whole lot more out of it. So we just take it little by little. And so today we're going to be in John chapter 7, verses 40 through 43. And you can turn there with me if you'd like, or you can just look at the screen. The screen's good and it's bad. It's good because you can read it. It's bad because then you don't bring your Bibles, you know. So do both. Amen. Rough crowd. All right. So the 9 o'clockers, man, you guys haven't had that second cup yet. Just keep it going down, man. You'll like it. So John chapter 7, verse 40, it says, therefore, many from the crowd, when they heard this saying, said, truly, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, will the Christ come out of Galilee? Verse 42, is not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the seed of David, and from the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. Now some of them wanted to take him, but no one laid hands on him. Today's message, and I was trying to figure out a good title for it, and I just figured I'd title it, The Jesus of the Bible, The Jesus You Need to Know. Because a lot of times people, even Christians, do not have a firm grasp or understanding who the Jesus of the Bible is. They might receive salvation, understanding somewhat that Jesus died on the cross for their sin, but they don't get past that and really dig into the scriptures to understand who and what God is as revealed through Jesus Christ. And so today I just want to use these verses as a springboard to talking about the Jesus of the Bible. Amen. So what does this verse say? Well, again, we're getting into this period of opposition in Jesus' ministry. And so some guys are saying he's a prophet. Some guys are saying that he's the Messiah. And then there's this discussion about, well, I thought he was supposed to be from Bethlehem. And some people are saying he's from Galilee. And the scripture said he had to come from Bethlehem. If he doesn't come from Bethlehem, he's not the Messiah. And so then it began to cause a division. And then some guys were going to lay hands on him, not to pray over him, but just to grab him and take him somewhere. But they didn't lay any hands on him because it wasn't the appointed time. So let's talk about what these verses mean. So the first thing I want to talk to you about is that people always are going to have different opinions about who Jesus is. Like even now, 2,000 years later, Jesus revealed in Scripture, people will read these Scriptures or portions of it and come up with an opinion about who Jesus is. And you'll notice that these guys are paying close attention to the life of Jesus because they're trying to figure out exactly who he is. And so I like that part of the story, and that they're not dismissing who Jesus is. They're actually looking at him and saying, who is this guy? And let's figure out what he's about or what he's not about. And one guy is saying he's a prophet. One guy is saying he's the Messiah. And it's not different than what it is today. There are a lot of different people and religions that want to say something about who Jesus is that has nothing to do with what the Bible says. Now, when people say he's the Messiah, well, bless God, I agree with that, right? But some people want to just kind of do the soft Jesus and say, well, he's a prophet, or he was a really good moral teacher, or he had a lot of good things to say. He's no different than any other prophet that walked the earth. And so they really kind of minimize who Jesus actually was. And really, it's kind of a misunderstanding of who he is. I don't know, has anybody here ever been misunderstood before? Bless God, man. It's the worst thing. I see Brother Brett's hand. He shot up real fast. See, Brother Brett's like me. He got a strong personality. And when you got a strong personality, man, people always misunderstand you, and it's the worst. And I can't explain it. Just when you have a strong personality, people just, for some reason, they just expect the worst out of you, and they think things about you that aren't true. Some people might find it interesting that when I was in college, I used to get hate mail all the time. People would send me anonymous hate mail, and they would put excrement in pizza boxes in front of my door, and people would call me in the middle of the night and prank call me. I mean, I was subjected to some of the worst things possible when I was in college, because people, because of my loud, boisterous personality, assumed that I was a mean-hearted person, when in reality, they didn't know me at all. They were making judgments about me based on limited information instead of actually taking the time to get to know me. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? It's the worst thing. I mean, I can't describe a worse feeling than somebody misunderstanding who I am on limited information. And so when you take the next step and you think about the life of Jesus, how much more so should he be frustrated when it's not just a group of knuckleheads in the hundreds, but literally millions of people on the globe that misunderstand him? And he's like, oh man, I thought I made this clear when I was down there. I thought they could have figured it out, what I was trying to tell them and who I was about. You know, Jesus wasn't just a good teacher. He wasn't just a moral example. He wasn't a man who lived for God. He wasn't just a prophet. Some people believe that he was a spirit brother of Satan. That's what some religions teach. Jesus was God in the flesh. 100% God, 100% man. God in the flesh. He is the Savior of the universe. He is the only means by which somebody can get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Now, I love this argument that some people say, and I want to teach this to you this morning because I think it's important. And I didn't come up with this on my own. Many people have used it. It's the idea that Jesus was either a liar, a lunatic, or a lord. Has anybody ever heard this argument before? It's a great argument. For those of you that haven't, listen, because this is good, man. I know it is because I wrote it down. Amen. So basically, the way that it says is that when you take the life of Jesus, you cannot merely dismiss him as a good moral teacher or a prophet or a good guy that taught some things. Jesus was only one of three things. He was either a liar, meaning everything he said was a lie. He was a lunatic, meaning the things that he said were what a crazy man would have said. Or he was Lord. Those are the only options that you have, because the claims that Jesus made could only come from a man who was God in the flesh, because if he wasn't, he was crazy.
Yeah, he was.
He was crazy. I mean, the things that Jesus said, if he would come into this church today and say these things, we would dismiss him as being crazy unless he was actually God in the flesh. Amen? Or we would dismiss him as saying, you know what, you're a liar because of the things that you say. Jesus would look at a crowd of angry people and say, can you find any sin in my life? None of us can say that, can we? No, I can't, because if I said that, you'd be like, I got a list, amen? Let me tell you about some of the things I've seen you say and do, because there's a list of sinful. But Jesus stood up and put himself before the crowd and said, prove that there's sin in my life. Now, only a lunatic would say that, or a liar, or maybe he was Lord, amen? Not maybe, but he was Lord, amen? He said it in John chapter 8, verse 46, can you prove me guilty of sin? Jesus Christ claimed to be the only way to God. This idea that all paths lead to God, or we're just merely another expression, and there's other ways to be able to get to God, is completely erroneous in face of the light of Scripture. And in this day and age, it is really hard to have an absolute such as Jesus Christ being the only way to heaven. And it makes people angry.
Sure.
Just like the law makes people angry. Why can't I take something that's not mine? Why can't I, you know, build a 4-story building in my front yard? It's my yard. Why can't I do it? For some reason, people just do not like absolutes. And so as a pastor, as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ, when people ask me, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven? I say, yes. And they say, well, you're condemning a bunch of people to hell. I say, I'm not condemning no one to hell. I'm not standing up and making this stuff up on my own, man. I didn't wake up this morning and say, you know what, I think I'm going to say Jesus is the only way to heaven. If I'm going to believe in the God of the Bible and I'm going to follow what he says, I've got to go with what the Scripture says. I'm not condemning nobody. I'm not passing judgment on anybody. I'm just believing in what Jesus said. And Jesus, either liar, lunatic, or Lord, said he is the only way to heaven. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. Christ claimed to have shared the glory of God in heaven.
Yeah.
and again, I'll turn this, John 17, if you want to turn there with me. I wanted to read this one because I think this, John 17:5. Oh, we don't have to turn there. Let's just read the lighted screen. Amen. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. None of us can claim that. If you claim that and said, well, I'm just here bringing my glory since before the world was created, I'd be like, you crazy man. You've been off your rocker. Or he's lying. He says, God, I was with you before the world formed, and glorify me once again. Those are some big claims, are they not? Those are some huge claims. Jesus claimed to be able to forgive sins. Luke 5:20, when Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. That was one of the reasons why they crucified him, because they said he was a blasphemer. He was against God, because only God had the power to forgive sins. Well, either he was a liar, lunatic, or he was Lord. Christ claimed to be a heavenly king. Luke 22:69. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the mighty God. He said in John 18:36, my kingdom is not of this world. Christ claimed to be able to give people everlasting life. That is a huge claim. To be able to say, believe in me and you'll live forever. It's a huge claim. You know, yesterday the Jehovah's Witnesses came to my door. Man, Crystal was busy doing something. So I know you guys are like, man, this is going to be a good story. I was nice to him. You know, the poor girl, she was stammering. She was so scared when I opened up the door with my shirt off. And no, I'm just kidding. I almost did. We had just came back from a run. I was just in my shorts. I put on a shirt. And so I opened up the door. I was like, yes. And she was like, And she handed me this booklet about being able to live forever. And I wanted, I'm just a nice guy. And so I was just like, and she didn't ask me any questions. So I just said, I took it. I shut the door. And Chris was like, why didn't you say nothing? Because if I would have said something, I would have been, I am going to live forever in Jesus' name. You know, the thing is that, and I understand those people are deceived, but dude, I don't need to do God any favors by making a bunch of Christians look mean. You know what I mean? Yeah, I know. Jesus claimed he would die and come back to life. He did. John 12:32, but when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. That's what he said. He claimed he would return again to judge the world. Either he was a liar or he was a lunatic or he was Lord. A guy doesn't say that stuff if he's not Lord. Now, why do I spend time saying this stuff? Because I know, and I'm not going to point fingers or wave hands, but I guarantee you at least one of you in this room this morning learned something from what I just told you. I guarantee it. Because we get this mindset about who Jesus is without fully understanding who he is. Because we take what the world says or what we watch on some television program or on the History Channel. Folks, don't ever watch that stuff and come to me and be like, Pastor, I was watching this thing on the History Channel. Do what it said. It's utter and complete garbage. Come to me on Sunday and say, Pastor, you know what I was reading in the Bible? Then I'll be interested, okay? Those people, man, they are not set out to prove anything except God to be false. Amen? Because here's the other part of this scripture is that people don't always have the full story. They don't have the full story. You'll notice in this story, these guys start to argue and they say, well, has not the scripture said that he was supposed to come from Bethlehem and this guy came from Galilee? And so some people have used this scripture as a way to say that there is contradictions in the Bible, when the reality is that there's no contradictions in the Bible. There's just misunderstandings because people don't read the whole entire thing. They read one scripture. And so John, the author of this book, and you know it's the author of the book because the book is called John, is just reporting what these guys said. And what these guys said was what they said was they just didn't really understand what was going on. One guy's like, I thought the Messiah is supposed to come from Bethlehem and this guy came from Galilee. And it was true. What he said was true because Jesus had come from Galilee. The problem was is that he assumed because he had come from Galilee, that's where he was born. Yeah. It doesn't say he was born in Galilee. It said he came from Galilee. And he did come from Galilee. That's where he just came from. He was down in Galilee. But he was born in Bethlehem. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all say, born in Bethlehem. That's what they say. But these guys didn't have the full story. They didn't realize that he had been born in Bethlehem. And then he moved to Galilee because they had, I don't know, better housing prices or something. I don't know. He got a new carpenter job, whatever it was. And so the union moved him down there. And so a lot of people think they know the story without knowing all the facts. You want to really see me get fired up, get me around somebody that starts quoting two or three scriptures and pretending that they know my Jesus. Man, you will get me fired up, man. You will get me fired up because these guys don't have the full story. Now, here's the part that I love about this scripture, and this is the part that I really got caught up on this week, and the Lord gives me this stuff. In verse 42, I love this. It says, has not the scripture said? Has not the scripture said? And what I love about that is that these guys are trying as hard as they can to follow what the Old Testament said. To them, it was Torah and it was Talmud and all the other, the scriptures that the Jewish people believed in. But these people had known the Old Testament scriptures. And I'll just call them Old Testament because that's what we call them. They didn't call them the Old Testament. They just called them their scriptures. But these guys are trying to follow what they have as scripture as best as possible. These guys know the scriptures. If they didn't know the scriptures, they couldn't say, has not the scripture said? These guys were students of the scripture. They had followed it well enough that they were actually looking for Messiah. And so when there was a misunderstanding, they actually bring up this term and they say, well, wait a minute, has not the scripture said? And they so clearly want to follow what God says in the scriptures that they challenge what's going on. They say, wait a minute, has not the scripture said? Because if the scripture says from Bethlehem, we're not going to believe in anybody who's not from Bethlehem because that's what the scripture says. It's pretty cool when you think about it. They were wrong, but it was good because they did know the scripture. They just didn't have the full story. The full story was he had been born in Bethlehem. He had just moved from Galilee. But these guys really wanted to follow what the scripture said. What happens in today's age is that people want to make up a mystery Jesus from whatever they want to make up in their own heads instead of going to the scripture, and they feel as though scripture is outdated. 2,000 years ago, the people realized that Jesus was Messiah from the scriptures. That's what pointed them to God. The early Christians, when they would come together in churches, they wouldn't read the New Testament because they didn't have it. They would read the Old Testament and see Jesus in those scriptures. We are a religion of scripture. That's what we believe. We believe the scripture as revealed. And so when it comes to the things of God in this day and age, we must wholeheartedly believe in and defend these scriptures. We can't just merely make up God in our heads based on our own preconceived ideas. We must make our preconceived ideas line up with what the Word of God says, because this is the way in which we understand God on this side of heaven.
Amen. That's right.
And that is the way that the followers of Yahweh, Jehovah, have been for the last thousands of years. Thousands of years we have been people of the book. Thousands of years. Do you guys know that I love Facebook? In addition to the good book, I also love the Facebook. And one of the things, I mean, there's a lot of things I love about Facebook. I mean, I love seeing people's pictures. Most people's pictures I like seeing. Some people, man, you look at their picture and like, did they really just post that picture? I like to see what people post, but then sometimes people post stuff and I'm like, did they really just post that? But one of the interesting parts about Facebook, and if you're not on it, you don't need to be. It's fine. Stay away. Jay's going to be the last holdout. Skynet's going to come down. He's going to lead the resistance because he doesn't have a Facebook. We are the resistance. The thing about Facebook is that it is so easy to misunderstand what somebody says on that thing, isn't it? Somebody will say one line, and the next thing you know, pastor's having a meeting in his office because somebody said something on Facebook. It's true. People will take one sentence and be like, they're talking about me. Oh, how come you didn't like my post? You didn't say hi to me on my birthday. How come you blocked me? How come you didn't tag me? Why did you tag me? Why, whatever. And what's interesting about those posts is that people misunderstand it because they don't know the full story. You just know a piece of it. Just a piece of the story. But they don't know. What these guys don't know is that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but he moved to Galilee. These guys didn't have the full story. Now, right or wrong, Jesus is going to cause division. Even now, in this day and age, Jesus continues to cause division. And some people get really upset, and they say, well, I don't understand. I thought the church was supposed to be unified, and the fact that there is division must prove that it's false. And that's just not the truth at all. Jesus is divisive in the sense that he is always dividing truth from error, fact from fiction, sheep from goats. There's always a division with Jesus because Jesus always stands on the right side of the truth, and the people that don't want to stand on the right side of the truth fall on the other side of the truth. Yeah. And the other side of the truth is a lie. It's a lie. Yeah. It's a lie. And so Jesus is always going to be a divisive person. And why does the division happen? Because people don't have enough information, too many assumptions, limited experience, personal bias. I love it when people say, I don't want to follow God. It's going to send me to hell. Seriously? That is one of the dumbest things that somebody can say. God's desire is that none would perish. God's love is so large that he desires that none would perish. And he doesn't send anybody to hell. People choose hell because they don't want to be with God. God says, all you have to do is believe in me and follow me, and you can spend eternity with me. And people say, well, I don't want to follow you. I don't believe in you. I don't want to be in your presence. But for some reason, when I die, then can I be in your presence? Because then I want to be around you. God's like, well, wait a minute. You told me you didn't want to be with me by the way you lived your life, and you denied me. So I just, there's a place where you can go where I'm not. There's a place you can go where I'm not. And then people say, well, God sent me to hell. Because no, you said you didn't want to be in his presence. You said you didn't want to live for him. You said, I don't like God. And God was like, well, okay, I'm not going to force you here. Just and people, hell, it just happens to be the name. It could have any name, like, you know, Bakersfield or something. You know what I mean? Nobody here is from Bakersfield. Dang it. Well, I didn't say Kent. Amen. Come on. You know what I'm saying. It could have any name. It's just people don't like the name hell because it connotates what it is, which is utter and complete separation from God. Jesus said in Matthew 10:34, do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace but a sword. So what? I want to focus on one phrase from the scripture today more than any others because I think it has applicability from it. And it's this term, has not scripture said. Okay? This term has not scripture said. And again, I got caught up on that verse this week and I couldn't get away from it. Because in this context, when the guy said this, has not the scripture said, they're doing the right thing. They're doing the right thing. It is totally and completely right for us as the people of God to defend the things of God by saying, has not the scripture said. It's what we're supposed to do. When the world brings up things that are of God that are not of God, it is our place as the people of God to say, wait a minute, has not the Scripture said? Wait a minute, has not the Scripture said? Now, one of the problems with the people of God is that we don't know what the Scripture said, and so we can't really say that. And so somebody will come up and be like, oh, I thought Jesus had four arms. Like, oh, that sounds good. You know, I thought all good people just go to heaven. That sounds good. People believe this stuff, right? They believe that all paths lead to God, and they believe that, you know, all you have to do is just not murder anybody. That's it. That's just the big one. You know what's so funny? Nobody ever preaches against murder. Have you ever noticed that? Today we're going to preach on the pain of murder, because people don't commit that, and so people just figure like, well, if I don't commit murder, then I'll make heaven. It's a little erroneous. It really is. There's a lot more to it. Jesus couldn't have been Messiah if his life didn't line up with the Old Testament. We know Jesus is Messiah. We know he's God because of the prophecies of the Old Testament. We can't just be New Testament Christians. We have to be Old Testament Christians too, because the Old Testament directs us to the reality and the truth of Jesus being Messiah. You know, my friend's friend. Yeah, he's my friend. My friend's church. It's a church. I'm really judgmental on the inside sometimes. Well, I know you guys aren't. You guys just love everybody. But I'm on the inside, I seethe with judgment. But, hey, man, I'm glad you guys are perfect. So anyway, dude, my friend's church was trying to take a stance on a social issue. And so I was asking him about this social issue that's really divisive in the church today. And I said, and he goes, oh, well, you know, our elder board is reading all these books about the subject, trying to figure out, you know, where our church is going to take a stance on it. And I was like, have you guys read the Bible? And he was like, well, you know, we're just trying to make sure that the Bible is true and what it's saying about this thing and so into whatever. And I'm just like, seriously, man, how are you going to use this Bible to understand the nature and character of God? And then when a part comes up that you just don't happen to agree with, you want to go find some other way to just try to make it fit in. Man, I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry that there's things that just are in this book, man. Like, I wish that I could just get a big black marker and I just, God would be like, all right, man, take five scriptures and you just mark out whatever ones you want and then we'll just take those ones out. I'd be like, dude, I got five. But I can't do that. Come on. I can't do that. For some reason, people seem to think that Christianity started with them so they can make up whatever they want to believe about being a Christian. When I was brought into the faith over 20 years ago, people told me that I'd been serving God longer than a day. Like, you don't do that as a Christian.
Yeah.
Why being so judgmental and legalistic? Because it's just not what you do, man.
That's right.
People will always have different ideas about who Jesus was, but our response needs to be, has not the Scripture said?
Amen.
That needs to be your response.
Now,
for you to be able to have that response of has not the Scripture said, you have to get to know what the Scriptures say. Amen? Don't sit here and be like, Pastor, why are you judgmental and you're people going to hell and what kind of church is this? Man, I just go off what this book says. Pastor told me one time, he said, God said everything he ever wanted to say and he wrote it down in a book. It's your job to tell him again.
Yeah, come on.
For example, can I just riff for a minute here? People say Jesus is accepting of all people. Have you guys ever heard anybody say this?
Yeah.
So if you as a Christian, somebody does something wrong, like, you know, Jesus is accepting of all people. Well, did Jesus accept everyone? This is really not a yes or no question. It really hinges on what the word accept means, right? If the question means, did Jesus love everyone and interact with them despite their sinfulness?
Yes.
Then the answer is yes.
Yes.
And people always want, well, Jesus hung out with sinners and tax collectors. That's always what they want to say when they want to go do whatever. Jesus hung out with the prostitutes. That's what they say.
Yeah.
Do you guys not hang out with people that say this kind of thing?
Yeah.
You guys are like, Pastor, I just pray and love God and everything is good. You know, some of the worst Christians I know are Christians. Jesus did eat and associated with sinners and tax collectors.
Yeah. Yes.
It's in the Bible. It's in Matthew 9:11, 11:19. I think this is usually what people mean when they say that Jesus accepted everyone. He did not shun people because of their sinfulness. He wasn't mean to them. He wasn't mean to sinful people, and neither should we be. If somebody's steeped in sin or somebody's caught up in a sin, we're not supposed to be mean to those people or be rude to them or treat them like they're second-class citizens. Such were some of you. The reason why we can love other people is because we've been shown love ourselves in spite of our sinfulness. And so we see sinful people. We're not mean to them. We're not rude to them. We're not, you know, awesome. I'm going to hold a sign and you hell. No, man. Love those people. But then they make a scripturally unwarranted leap in logic and claim that this means Jesus condoned the sinful behavior of all these people.
No.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yes.
Listen, every neighbor around me doesn't go to church on all sides, okay? And so I don't come home every day and go, sinners! You guys are all going to hell. I'll be in my house praying for you. That's a really good plan to fill God's church. Okay? No. I go over and I shake hands with them. I eat meals with them. I love on them. I hug them. I serve them. I don't call them dirty, rotten, pagan dog sinners. What good is that? But just because I love on them or I serve them or I give them a meal, it doesn't mean in any way, shape, or form that I'm saying, you know what? The way you're living your life, I approve of it. This is a very one-sided reading of the Gospels and Scripture as a whole to come to the conclusion that because Jesus spent time with somebody, he condoned their behavior. The truth is that Jesus condemns all sorts of sinful behavior. Therefore, has not the Scripture said? Jesus told people to sin no more. That's what he said in John chapter 5, verse 14. He condemns anger and lust and divorce. He condemns those things in Matthew chapter 5. He even went so far as to say in Matthew chapter 5 that if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out, because it's better to lose your eye than to be thrown into hell.
That's right.
We'll be having an eye removal ceremony immediately following this service. We've got blunt spoons, okay? Jesus was pretty demonstrative about how he wanted people to live their lives.
Yes.
But if you want to paint the daisy Jesus.
Yeah. The daisy Jesus.
Just loved everybody. I would guarantee that if we were in the presence of Jesus, we would probably have some things in our stomach that would be like, oh, Jesus, man, that hurts. I'm like, I love you, man. I'm just keeping it real. Amen. Just saying. Interestingly, Jesus is always misunderstood by people. Jesus tells us that if we don't repent of our sin, then we're going to perish. That's what he said. He says that there's a time coming when he will sit in judgment over the nations and send those who did not believe into eternal punishment. Matthew 25, 46. Has not the scripture said, and this is from the book of Revelation. You know what I love about the book of Revelation is that it's still Jesus' word. If you've got a Bible like mine, there's actually red letters in there. And people say, well, I'm a red letter Christian, but they seem to forget the end of the book. That's still the red letters. In the book of Revelation, it says, and this is from Jesus, comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of the God, the Almighty. There's the daisy. Folks, we got to know what the Word of God says, amen. As much as we can know the nature and character of God through knowing, we need to know, has not the Scripture said? And when we know what the Scripture says, we can have an accurate representation of who Jesus is, of what his nature is, of what his word says. And then we're not worshiping a false God. We're not making up a Jesus in our head. We're actually following and worshiping the God of the Bible.
Yeah.
It's what we can do. When we know what the Scripture says, we can know and claim the promises of the Scriptures.
Yes.
We can know and claim the promises of the Scriptures. Many people don't know the promises of Scripture.
That's right.
They don't. And so because they don't know the promises of Scripture, they can't claim them and declare them. We can't.
That's right.
They can't declare and say, has not the Scripture said? That's why I love the Word of God.
Yes. Amen.
Did you know that the Bible says in Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory? That's what it says.
Yeah.
Has not the scripture said that God will supply all your needs? So when you have needs in your life and you wonder, man, how is this going to be supplied? Well, has not the scripture said, my God shall supply all of my needs? Has not the scripture said? When people around you, the well-meaning Christians that say, well, what are you going to do? And you know what? Has not the scripture said, my God will supply all of my needs? I know that God's going to supply all my needs.
Amen.
Has not the scripture said, give and it will be given unto you? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will it be put into your bosom? For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Has not the scripture said? People get so ashamed of being a person that God can bless. They are. They're ashamed. When you live your life for God and then God begins to bless you and the people want to make excuses of why they're being blessed, when the truth is you're being blessed because you're living for God.
That's right.
You're a giver, so God's giving it back to you. Has not the scripture said this is how it's supposed to be?
Amen. That's right.
We get afraid. Has not the scripture said, fear not, for I'm with you. Amen. Do not be dismayed, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand.
Yes.
Has not the scripture said?
Yes.
Has not the scripture said, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us.
Yeah.
Has not the scripture said? That says God is going to be able to use me, the power that works in us. Amen?
Amen.
Has not the scripture said? People say, Matt, you think pretty highly of yourself. I don't think highly of myself. I think highly of the God that lives inside
That's
of myself.
Right. Amen.
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 Has not the scripture said, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work?
Amen.
Has not the scripture said? Has not the scripture said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments to keep all of his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you for which I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you? Has not the scripture said? Has not the scripture said, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus? I'm on a roll here, man. Has not the scripture said, as for every man whom God has given riches and wealth and given him power to eat of it, to receive his heritage and rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God.
Amen.
Has not the scripture said? Many people, Christians included, don't really know what their Bible says.
Right.
And I know that some of you, when you go out there and you're at work and you're talking to people, because I know every day at work you're talking to people about Jesus, and people are like, man, what are you talking about? Because this isn't the Jesus that I know. Well, they don't know their scriptures. They don't know their word. That's why when I'm preaching, I try to shove as many scriptures as humanly possible in this thing, because I want you to know the word, man.
That's right.
I want you to know what it says.
Yes.
The Bible says to have an answer. You can go to church and confess Christ and have no idea what the word says.
Yeah, come on.
And when you become a has not the scripture said Christian, it is going to cause division in your life.
Yeah.
Especially amongst religious people that don't know the word.
Yes.
A lot of Christians don't like me because I believe the Bible.
Amen. It's true.
I'm going to close with this scripture. Turn with me to the book of Colossians. Let me see if I can find it in here. I don't know about y'all. I'm preaching myself. Amen. I am in myself. Amen. Get excited. Now, this is a longer portion of scripture, but you're fine with it. Amen. Chapter 2, verse 1. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now I say this, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. I say this, anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. It's what happens with a lot of Christians, man. Get deceived by persuasive words instead of just following what the scripture said. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. And you, therefore, have received Christ as Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. That scripture to me fully describes what we're talking about today, which is Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It also talks about how you will be deceived by the world with persuasive words and with the traditions of men, things that seem well, but when you put them through the filter and the light of Scripture, don't stand up to the truth of God's Word. Amen? Yes. What do I leave you with today? I want you to know the God of the Bible. Amen? I want you to know the Jesus of the Bible. And people are always going to have different opinions about what and who Jesus is. Amen? They always are. And so our you can come, Russ. So our defense to them is to know what the Scripture says.
That's right.
And I'm not argumentative for argument's sake. I just want to, I don't know, I guess I just want to follow what the Bible says.
Yeah.
That's how I figured out who Jesus was. Amen?
Yeah.
Now, if you want to go make up a Jesus in your head, that's fine. It's just not this one here. So learn to know your Bible, and then you'll be able to fight the world and what they believe about what Jesus says. And it's going to cause division, man.
Yeah.
It is. A lot of people don't like me because I like the Bible. It's true.
It's okay.
It's fine because I know my wife likes me.
That's right.
Some of y'all don't even like me on Sundays. Some of y'all drive away and be like, I can't believe he said that. How dare he read the Bible in church? I'm just doing my job. Amen?
Amen.
Let's have a moment of prayer before we get out of here. Now listen, if you're sitting here this morning and you don't know Jesus, I want to give you an opportunity to be able to give your life to him. Not just halfway, all the way. The day my life was changed, the day when I decided I was never going to deny him ever again in my life. Somebody said to me, he said, listen, you can live your life either crucifying Christians or being crucified for Christ, man. What do you want to do? And I said, I want to be crucified. I didn't even know what it meant. I just knew I didn't want to crucify Christians. So if you're sitting here this morning, you've never given your life to Jesus, and you'd say, do you want, Pastor? I want to spend eternity with Jesus. And you don't even have to fully understand. I didn't understand what it meant. I just knew I wanted what he had, not what the world had. God's powerful enough. He can reveal himself to you. If that's you this morning, would you just raise your hand and say, that's me. I just want to pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Now, we always have this time after we're done with the sermon and we got the music playing. I like the music playing. It's a little reflective. And I'm not, I don't want to embarrass you because honestly, I don't even want to know this one. Maybe you've been following the wrong Jesus. I honestly, I don't want to know, so I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand. But if you've been following the wrong Jesus, would you just confess that to him right now? Would you just confess that to him and say, do you want Jesus? I am sorry, man. I had you wrong. Would you just confess that you hadn't been believing his word? You've been fighting against the word? And just tell him, say, Jesus, I'm not going to fight your word anymore. I'd rather fight the world than fight you. Just confess that sin. Say, you know what, God, I'm not going to fight your word anymore. I'm going to do as best as I can to follow it. And it's going to cost me. It's going to cause division in my life. But I'm fine because I'd rather be divided with the world instead of be divided with you. Father, I pray today that we would be a church that follows your word. God, I pray that we don't tear pages out of this Bible, but we fully believe in everything that you said. God, and as this world continues to change, it's going to cause division. And they're going to come for us because we believe your word. But it's fine. We're ready. We can handle it. God, with your power, we'll be able to get through anything. Father, I pray that this church, these people, all of us, would just be known as lovers of you and lovers of people. that we would believe in your word and that we would follow it. God, because we love you so much. And Father, we pray for these things today in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.